All right, we're going to read a verse here. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into our discussion for tonight. All right, here we are, Genesis chapter 1. Let's just read verse 1 together. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's pray. Lord God, we are grateful again for your word tonight as we open it up and as we talk about this question, Lord, of that comes up often with unbelievers. Do you really exist? And how can we know? Lord, we know that these things truly come, first of all, by the power of your Spirit. Lord, it has to be your Spirit working. But then there are some things that we can bring up for the human and his intellect and his reasoning to even consider. Lord, and so we just pray that you'd guide us tonight in our discussion, that it would all honor you and glorify you and be encouraging and helpful to each of us here tonight. We thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, that is the first question we'll discuss in this series of addressing questions or objections that come up when it comes to sharing the gospel. And tonight, some of my notes were taken out of a little book that was a tremendous help to me as a new Christian. Michael Bears, his name, was a teacher. I'm not sure if he's still teaching, but he was a teacher at Pensacola College, and he had a book called Bible Doctrines. And I remember when I first came to know Christ, it was a book that I bought at Northside Baptist in North Charleston. He came in for a Bible conference. I devoured that book, and I still have it, pages worn. I still reference it often, and I love that book. And I took some of my notes for tonight out of his outline, and so I will reference those. But also something I learned from Pastor Camp in one of our first classes there on Bible doctrines and theology, he made this quote, there are two great presuppositions form the basis of all theology, and the two are this: God exists and God has spoken. God exists and God has spoken. Now, for the unbeliever who will approach this, we have to understand that there is a level of blindness there. Now, that's no excuse to not share the gospel, because we know that the truth, God's truth, is actually what lifts that blindness. We shine the glorious light of the gospel. We shine the light of the Word of God, and the Lord and the Holy Spirit break through that. But the reason I read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, because isn't it interesting that God did not take the form of apologetics to introduce himself? He just said, in the beginning, God created. He's not taking along the first three chapters to explain, now listen, this is how you can understand that God exists. No, God exists. We see it right there, verse 1, declared, and so I've heard that, I've seen that bumper sticker, you've seen it too. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. It doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. God said it. God exists. God is the I Am, the great I Am. And he doesn't need my approval in any way. He is God. But there are some practical ways, I think, that we need to keep in mind when it comes to answering this question. Now, you notice I've put there an outline. Didn't have to alliterate, but I did anyway. Sometimes that helps me. Sometimes I use it. Sometimes I don't. But I did in this case. But I want to open it up to some thoughts tonight. Some of you maybe have put some thought through this week, or maybe not. Maybe just want to share some things tonight. But I do know that we need to be ready for these kind of questions. And I think when we get a group of believers like this and we can talk about it together, I believe it is helpful. Let me read something to you that I thought was very interesting. The proofs of God's existence. And then I'm going to open it up for some discussion. To the one who says, prove that there is a God, we can reply, prove that there is no God. To prove that there is no God, one would have to go to every corner of the universe and look under every rock to show that he is not there. But while that person was looking for God on one planet, God may be on another. Therefore, it would be necessary for the individual to be everywhere at the same time. Hence, in his desire to prove that there is no God, he himself must process one of the characteristics of God, and that is omnipresence. And no man has that. And it's interesting that in that aspect of it, when you go to say prove God's existence, well, man cannot prove that there is not in that aspect. But let me just put it back with you. Maybe there's some things that maybe you have found effective when it comes to talking about the existence of God. Something that you have found effective in your own life and in conversation. Maybe I'd like to open it up now just for some discussion. Anybody like to start us off of maybe something you like to begin with? Now, you notice in our outline, I put creation because that's one of my favorites. But maybe there's some other thoughts here tonight of how you would respond to that question. Anybody want to share? Yes. Thermodynamics and just knowing that science itself does speak of God. Simply that word law, that there is law, that there is order, that the way God has created, cause and effect and the way that everything has a design. And we'll talk about that here and more in just a few minutes. Is there anything else that comes to mind even around creation, for that matter? Anybody else have any thoughts on that? Just the question, does God exist? You know, when we think of creation, we think of just an awareness of the marvelous creation before us. Man is aware. I mean, even secular scientists, humanists, even that do not believe in a God, they are in awe of the creation, what we call it. They are in awe of how meticulous everything is and how everything just comes together. And we look at it as Christians and give God the glory, but it is simply amazing. You know, as we think about creation, I think of Romans chapter 1, verse 20. It says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So God even declares in His Word that men do understand that there is a Creator. They know it, but they choose to deny it. I think it was maybe, I was talking about it with Joanna the other day. Basically, those that deny the creation, it is a willful ignorance. It is a willful ignorance to just reject the beauty of creation. Anybody else have any thoughts on this question? When it comes to Brother Christian, amen. And that's one of my points too, the control of circumstances. God will show that and through our personal circumstances and even through the circumstances of someone that's close to us. The way God will work in that behalf, that's very, very true. It may not be creation, in other words, but it could be circumstance on that. Anything else? Somebody have any comments on that? Just somebody comes up to you and you're sharing the gospel and they say, "Well, listen, I don't really believe in God. How can you believe in God?" What is your response? Anybody else? Yes, Kathy. That's true. You can. You say, "Well, listen, you're agreeing with the Bible almost," when it finishes that statement. That's true. But anything else comes to mind? Brother Dan. Amen. That's an excellent one. You can write down in your notes there, just jot it down. Fulfilled prophecy. It would be good for each of us to have those ones that we can go to. Either in Isaiah, that you can go and find verses and just all through the Word of God that deal with the Messiah coming and fulfilling his death on the cross And all through Scripture, in the book of Psalms, just that is a great way to just help someone to understand. Now, the only thing you may run into there is if they don't accept the Bible. And again, that does help them, though, to understand, look, the Bible has validity because there was prophecies many years ago, and they have been fulfilled. And they're even recognized by, again, secular society. I remember going to Charlotte. My first date with Joanna, believe it or not, was actually to go see the Dead Sea Scrolls. And it was not that romantic, but it was a date nevertheless. But we had fun, and you know, those are documents even recognized by those even in our secular world that may not be believers, but they recognize those as authentic in the sense of being valid and written that long ago. And then when we correlate and put them together on the things that have been fulfilled, even we find in those are, it's pretty amazing. But fulfilled Scripture, yes, anything else that comes to mind when you're talking to someone who questions the existence of God? Yes, Joe? Exactly. And what he's, and if you could hear Joe, he's just talking about the how awesome the I itself is, and the way God created and the capabilities of there, even in comparison to a computer, even exceeding the intelligence of a computer and the capabilities of a computer, just in the human eye. And that had to be designed. And in fact, I had this quote here, Joe, around that same idea of a design, must have a designer. And he said this, it is extremely doubtful that man will ever be able to create life. But what if God allowed man to have that privilege? What would it prove? Only that intelligence is required to create and order this world. Design demands a designer. That's what it would prove. And so we know that is something that is so rich and strong, creation, designer, and of this great design that God has created. This thing of cause and effect as well that we read about. Man's observations of this world confirm a marvelous effect. His rationale demands a cause. What is the cause behind all that man can see? Well, surely, the author says, it must be an omnipotent creator. Cause and effect. And as one gentleman put it by the name of F.L. Patton, this paragraph, I hope you'll stay with me here. It's not that lengthy, but let me read it to you. Belief in a self-existent persona God is the harmony with all the facts of our mental and moral nature, as well as with all the phenomena of the natural world. If God exists, a universal belief in His cause is accounted for. Our religious nature has an object. The uniformity of natural law finds an adequate explanation, as Ms. Debbie was referencing. And human history is vindicated from the charge of being a vast imposture. Atheism leaves all these matters without explanation and makes not history alone, but our moral and intellectual nature itself an imposture and a lie. That is true. If we indeed deny the existence of God. One of the points that I thought was interesting that Dr. Baer brought out, he called it tradition. I called it, just for alliteration, I called it consistency. He brought up the fact that history itself points toward a creator just in humankind. David Livingstone, who was a great missionary to the jungles of Africa, the most remote places, people that had never been in Africa, he went there as a missionary, and he would write in his journals, and some of his conclusions were that as he came back from these trips, is that these people, these tribes, believe in an almighty God. They recognize a higher power that they needed, of course, they needed the gospel. They needed specific revelation, the divine revelation in that regards, but it was obvious that, they just said it like this, it has been the common characteristic of all peoples throughout history to believe that there is a God and a life after death. And I like this quote right here. History proves that man is basically a religious creature. I believe you have to say that. Anybody that studies history looks through and all, whether it be in America or Europe or Asia, wherever it may be, man is a religious creature. And again, what does that point to? That points to the very fact that our Creator created us to be religious. He created us not to just be religious of any kind of religion, but the religion that worships Him, the one true God, the all-wise God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one, the true one, that we look to. But maybe there's something else that comes to mind tonight as we talk about, you know, this question of the existence of God. And I'm going to bring this up here in just a minute. As you notice, that's my last point. But maybe before we do, is there anything else that comes to mind in that matter? I think what Brother Christian said, the control of circumstances, not just in an individual's life, but I think as one looks back through the history of mankind, it just is clear that God has been working in the events of this world. I think of Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. You remember as we were studying that, Daniel answered and said, this is in relation to King Nebuchadnezzar, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." And so just watching the control of mankind and the events of mankind is quite miraculous, especially as it revolves around the nation Israel. I've never done an in-depth study on that, but I know just in the 60s, as there was lots of turmoil going over in the Middle East and the name just slipped my mind. It was the war there with Six-Day War. It just slipped my mind. But how there were so many testimonies of God's divine intervention around that time. That was 1967. And how the testimonies of how God just intervened and protected that nation and continues to. And God is faithful even around Israel. But nevertheless, anything else come to mind tonight around the existence of God? Yes, Eugenia. And that goes exactly what we're talking about here. God's divine protection over this nation. Absolutely. No one can argue with that. And someone may bring up the Holocaust, you know, and the different things like that. But the truth of the matter is, even if you look at that, you can see God's deliverance, even God using other countries to deliver even from Hitler. I mean, I look at that as God's mercy that this world wasn't taken over by Hitler. I mean, I think we're all grateful for that and looking to God for His protection even in that. But yes. Anything else? We'll bring things to a close here in a few minutes, but these are some good responses. If someone were to come to you, or after you going to them about these things, I do believe again. Also, I think of conscience. You know, that built-in moral guide that God has given us. It's like when He asked the guy, I couldn't believe it, but you could tell he didn't even believe his own statement. That video we watched last Wednesday when Brother Comfort asked him, "Do you believe rape is moral, is good?" And he stuttered. You saw that. And then he didn't really want to come out and say, "Well, yes, it can be right," but that's what he said. He said, "It depends where you are." Well, I don't think he believed his own statement there, because there is a built-in moral God, and God tells us that in Romans chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law," listen to the word of God, "do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves." He's talking about that built-in conscience and man's that God has given mankind in knowing right and wrong. And I believe that's why you can have a moral person that's not a Christian. I believe you can. Now, it's not counting necessarily towards the glory of God in the sense as a believer, the same as a believer would. Our actions are all for the purpose of glorifying Jesus Christ. But there are people out there that do good, even because God has even given them that ability to do good. You know, this is kind of a sidetrack, but I just thought about this the other day and just thinking about the sovereignty of God. You know, we as Christians have the opportunity to give God the glory in either two ways. Because God's going to get glory whether we do right or wrong, because he's sovereign and he can take evil and use it for good. Okay? But here's the thing. You need to decide as a believer, and I need to decide, which side do you want to be on? As a child of God, I want my life to count for his glory, and what he has in his will for me. His will for me is to bring glory to him in the good way. In other words, choosing to do right instead of being on that side where I'm doing wrong. Where I am doing wrong, and that he's going to use it for good because he's sovereign. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to give an account. Son, I wanted to use you in the category of good. Son, I wanted you to use you for my glory and these things. But you are over here on the evil side. And you, indeed, were not laying up treasures in heaven. You were indeed had wood, hay, and stubble, and that's where none of us want to fall. But that was a sidetrack anyway. Just thought about that and just being used of the Lord and having a built-in conscience to serve him. But anything else that comes to mind, Brother Dan, Lord willing, will be, if the Lord leads in that direction, he may be talking more in depth about creation here in a couple months. We're going to do a series, a couple different series within our church, and I think he might do one on creation. I'm not sure, but I know that would be a blessing if he did. So we'll be thinking about that. All right, well, in closing, if we don't have any other comments, notice the number 5, conversion. That's an obvious. How do we know that God exists? Well, I'll tell you this. We know God exists for the individual because of what God has done for us. I think about the man in John 9:25. He was blind. He was blind. Jesus Christ healed him. The religious leaders couldn't believe it. They were questioning this supernatural work of God and Jesus's power, and questioning God himself and Jesus Christ being God, questioning him. And this is what his answer was to them. He answered and said, John 9:25, "Whether he be a sinner or no," was the response of the parents, "I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." So you see in John where his family didn't know exactly what was going on. They just knew he was blind, but he could see. And the man himself knew he was blind, but now he could see. And as a believer, people may want to question, you know, our faith and whether God exists. But one thing I can say, I know at one time in my life, I was blind. But now I can see. And I'm thanking the Lord for that. And I hope you can too. I hope we can all have a testimony, because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new." A new creature. And then some may say, well, like my dear wife, who has a testimony of being saved at a young age. she's like, well, you know, because there are some people that say, well, I didn't see a drastic change in my life. I mean, maybe I didn't punch my brother or sister quite as much as I used to. Maybe I did eat all my green beans when mom told me to, you know, type thing. I don't know. But there's a different element there. There might not just necessarily be that distinction. But one thing that we know, even with that, is that there is a continual change of heart. Even for someone that grew up in a Christian home that got saved at a young age, a question that they need to answer in their own lives is, my heart being changed today? Am I growing in grace today? Is there evidence of God's Spirit working in my life? And if there is, that is evidence that God exists that you can share with others. I think sharing with somebody in the Muslims, they put a lot of stock in this. They would, boy, perk up. Man, there they would tune in when you start talking about how God convicts you of sin. They would really perk up. I can't tell you how many times I'd start talking to them and I say, well, you know, when I do wrong, God, His Spirit speaks to me and tells me I need to get that right. Well, that to me is an evidence of God's existence. He speaks to me as His child. He tells me when I'm in the wrong. He gives me peace when I'm in the right. And that's something to consider when talking about the existence of God. Anybody else have anything they'd like to share before we close in prayer on this topic here tonight? Anybody else? Well, I hope that the Lord will give you even more and more tools in that and just studying this thing out. But we know that when the truth comes to understanding the existence of God, it will not, get it now, it will not be apart from a word that is very clear in the Bible called faith. We can give all these proof, facts, scientific things, which are good, nothing wrong with that. But according to what the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And for anybody to really understand the existence of God, they have to understand that it is a step of faith. You may not see God, but you must believe that He is. And that's where He says in His Word too, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that what? He is. He is. He exists. I believe it. And I accept it by faith. That is what we try to encourage. And I remind us all tonight that anytime we talk about the existence of God, or when we're talking to an unbeliever that's questioning our faith, may we always do it with grace. May we always do it with respect. May we always do it with a kind spirit, because that in itself is a testimony of the existence of God. The world, they get mad. They get jealous, they get wrathful, they get envious, they can mock, and it doesn't have to be God's children. All right, let's pray. Father, thank You for, as we discuss these things, I pray that You'd continue to help us to just reflect upon Your existence. Lord, how much that means to us. Lord, we are asking that You would not just be real, oh God, in our theology. Oh God, I'm asking You to be just as real in our lives in reality. As we trust You by faith, Lord, we say that You are the God of the impossible. We say that You can do anything. But many times, Lord, we don't go that far in our faith. We say we believe that You are sovereign. We say that we can trust You. We say that You are good, but yet we doubt, we fear. Oh God, forgive us. Lord, we want to practice our theology. Even tonight, Lord, Your existence is awesome. And we recognize that tonight. And please lead us to a lost and dying world that are headed to a hopeless, hopeless, helpless inferno. An everlasting fire without ever any relief unless they come to know Jesus as their Savior. Help us as a church to be concerned about that and to be ready to give an answer of the hope that is in us. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.